listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. I'm very pleased to say we are joined by Shay Armstrong. He is a Dallas-based attorney who has specialized in the EB-5 program. We'll be talking with him about that program as it's in the news at the moment. He is the author of a terrific paper, a white paper, at the Center for Security Policy, published last August, entitled EB-5 Trojan Horse, How an American pay-for-citizenship immigration program poses a national security threat, focusing in on communist China as a case study. And that is the perfect send-up for what we want to talk to Shay Armstrong about. He's been quoted recently in the New York Times on this subject, so we know we're in good company, aren't we? Shay, it's good to have you back. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thanks, Frank.
Well, so let's start by just level setting. Remind us what the EB-5 visa program is and how does it work?
Yeah, so Frank, in 1990, EB-5 came along as the employment-based category number 5, managed and monitored by USCIS. And the program, in a nutshell, is essentially it allows wealthy foreign nationals to earn a green card or to move to the front of the line, or to allow for expedited immigration by making a $500,000 investment into an economically underserved area in the United States. And this money usually goes into a real estate development project, such as a hotel or apartment complex.
The idea being that if you put money into such an enterprise in a depressed area, that you are getting an incentive to do so. But it's a pretty powerful incentive, isn't it? Essentially giving you an opportunity to come and ultimately become a citizen of the United States. Is that right?
That's exactly right. It's the ultimate commodity for these mostly Chinese nationals that take up 80 to 90% of the market.
Wow. Shay Armstrong is our guest. We're discussing a subject he is expert in, namely the EB-5 immigration status and what it allows, notably, a lot of Chinese folks to do in this country. And Shay, I want to turn to specifically this question of what Jared Kushner's sister, whose name is Nicole Meyer, was doing in Beijing the other day, promoting something called One Journal Square and flogging not only the EB-5 option, but also her friends and family members, including those in the White House these days.
Yeah, so it's standard within the EB-5 industry to go to China. These developers in the U.S. go to China, and for lack of a better phrase, they put on the dog and pony show, where they try to lure investors in presenting their project at your Silk Satin hotels, your Ritz-Carltons, and they'll go in there and put on their 30-minute show of their project to try to raise the necessary capital.
But this has something else going for it, which is that they're doing it in, as I understand it, Jersey City, is that right? Which would qualify as a depressed area, I take it?
Yeah, this is a whole other issue in EB-5, is that this money was intended to go to underserved markets, not just economically riddled areas, but areas maybe that are more fringe areas that need that extra push, that can't walk into your local Wells Fargo branch and get a loan. Once again, this project is located in an area where it's very high end. We have average salaries of, they presented during their presentation, $100,000 to $200,000 per family.
So these folks would not qualify for the $500,000 version then. Presumably they would be required to put $1 million down, but they would nonetheless be able, if they do, to gain access to our country and perhaps in due course, if they choose to, become citizens of the United States. Give us again, Shay, you've written a white paper on the subject. Why are there concerns about this from a national security point of view?
Yeah, not to go too off topic, but to clarify, they actually got this project to be designated as a 500,000 economically distressed area.
Oh, no
project.
Kidding. How'd they do that?
Clever map drawing. You're able to move a little east, a little north, and you grab some area, and you're able to massage the economic unfortunalities of other areas to this particular area. So it did qualify. But in regards to, you know, that the concern is we're seeing the largest Chinese developers get it become joint venture partners with some of the largest EB-5 deals. Well, number one, that wasn't an intent. This is supposed to benefit our own local developers. Number two, you know, from a patriotic perspective, at the least, why is a U.S. immigration program benefiting the largest Chinese-owned developers? In this particular example, I believe it's Nicole Kushner or the Kushner sisters. When they're over in Beijing or Shanghai, they're working with state government actors in China, because these individuals that raised EB-5 capital are actually licensed by the Chinese government through the Exit Entry Bureau. So this is a direct correspondence, direct partnerships, raising this capital with Chinese state actors, which we all know what potential implications there are in those types of engagements.
Very troubling stuff indeed. Let's turn to this specific question, whether this is, at the very least, an improper use of influence in Washington, or perhaps in some way actually crosses over into a more serious legal problem for the Kushners. What's your assessment of that, Shay?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen this continuing story. My group, actually, we were hoping for reform, because we think the intention of the program is it's a wonderful intention. You're bringing over people that are in Dragon Society, very few, and it's supposed to benefit your smaller developers. However, we've seen this political narrative go on now for about 6-7 years, from the Terry McAuliffe, you know, the Clinton scandal, to the Harry Reid pushing through visas for his own casino in his backyard, the SLS Casino in Las Vegas. And now we see it with the Kushner family. And so I think it's, it at least raises eyebrows in regards to Trump's base and the idea of being an immigration restrictionist. And now you have your son-in-law or a connection thereof hawking American citizenship or American residency in China.
Yeah, it seems to me it stinks at the very least. And I know you'll be following it closely, and hopefully others will as well, to try to prevent, again, what could at the very least be an embarrassment for the president, which I think is to be avoided, but also potentially a much more serious problem for the rest of us. Let us finish the conversation just by talking about Congress has apparently been giving some consideration to changing the EB-5 program. And I'd like to think in part it's as a result of some of the concerns you've expressed. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, and what kinds of changes you think ought to be made.
Yeah, so there's been a clear bipartisan effort. We call it the Four Corners. Obviously, your ranking member and your chairman of each judiciary, your Grassley, Leahy, Conyers, and Goodlatte, that clearly say this program is not working the way it's supposed to be working, and the special interests involved are incredible. Well, we have a couple powerful senators on each side that are holding up the reform process. The real estate lobby, real estate development lobby, is a very powerful group. And if you're a silk satin developer using EB-5 in Lower Manhattan, EB-5 is working for you. And you're one of the few that can put up a $400 million apartment complex. Now, this is a limited market, so you have a handful of developers taking up all the EB-5 capital. And capital, honestly, they really don't need, even though this is coming from a capitalist perspective. They can get financing in many other mediums.
Well, this, again, is extraordinarily important work. And, Shay, I appreciate your staying on it, and we look forward to continuing our collaboration to illuminate why reform is needed, and I'm hoping very much so that this will result in further updates to your terrific paper from last August, EB-5, The Trojan Horse. Shay, thanks for joining us. Keep up the good work and come back to us again very soon. Next up, Douglas Murray joins us from across the pond. We'll talk about the strange death of Europe, perhaps starting in France just this week. Straight ahead.